Nation with E.
The following content may contain elements that are difficult for some. Information presented is not meant to substitute for the advice of a doctor or other medical professional. Please be advised that some topics are intended for mature audiences. Listener and parental discretion is advised.
Stop.
ministry I heard. So build when we mash up on these roads. Fix up when we move into these days. Nobody can stop me if it's locked up. Charge up in my DQ. We roll, we have a
cut a rug.
Come on and get down with us.
Get down.
Turn
turn around.
Get down so hard, let me and my baby.
Now get down. Swim out.
Everybody, welcome to Inspiration with E. This is the season finale. I am so hyped and could not wait to hit this mic all day today. Okay, our mother is feeling real, real, real good. The music tonight, like, yeah, that was like a little bit of a synopsis of all of the things that that make mama feel real, real, real good. Carolyn Scott, we featured her on Grind Hard Radio, Radio Divas, earlier this season. Whenever you get a chance, go back and listen to that interview. She's an amazing artist. And that was her single, Dance. Right before that, we had Marcel Montano out of Trinidad. You like that, right? Live on the Parkway. That's a shout out for my mom. Live, Labor Day, live on the Parkway. I'm a native New Yorker in Brooklyn. Y'all know about that. That's called MOR, or Ministry of Road. And right before that, we had Ain't Nothing Wrong With That. That's Robert Randolph and the Family Band. Playing in the background, we're hearing Katora Duncan's I Need You. Going forward, it's going to be known as Walk With Me. And that was my theme song. Right here on Inspiration with E. How y'all feeling? Y'all good? Y'all good? Y'all ready to get it in? Hopefully you guys call me. I haven't heard from you guys in a little bit. The first show I had all these callers, these wonderful, amazing people calling in. But 323-693-3043. That's 323-693-3043. Do not be shy. I want to talk to you. Okay, so I'm not rocking solo tonight. I got one of my homegirls, like family, like family. Her name is Camila Thyree. She's one of the more talented people in my life. I am gifted to know her and blessed to know her. She's a singer-songwriter. I've been working with her literally for years. She actually sang at my wedding. Yeah, we go way back, and you know, I've been married since Noah's flood. So, all right, let's bring her in, Camila Thyree. Are you with us, my dear?
Hey, hey,
hey, my inspiration with E, season one, episode six. I like to keep
woo,
it
woo.
Short, you know. How you doing, mama?
I'm well. I am well. I'm so excited to be here tonight.
Thank you. I miss you, Camila Bear. I miss you so much. Tell me,
well,
I know you had a chance to check out a couple of episodes. Did you have a favorite? I know it's hard for everybody to catch everything with everybody's schedules being crazy, but is there anything in particular that stood out for you, the first season of Inspiration with E?
Of course, I love the first show because I was just super proud and excited.
Thank you.
Always good information, though. Always good information. Of course, I might be a little biased, but I love the episode with Dion Boissier.
Powerhouse.
And, you know, just always informative, good information. You feel the love vibe, you know.
Aww.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So proud of you.
Thank you so much for that. It was important for me to have family rocking with me today. I'm sorry, what'd you say there?
Sending you Philly love.
Oh, thank Much respect. Philly has been holding it down. It's like, it's crazy. I had an episode where literally it felt like everybody was from Philadelphia. I had George Ward, I had Donna Bush, I had Ilona Gaspar with me. And then, of course, I always shout out Katora Duncan, who's an indie artist out of Philly. And I also had Scott Rolfe with me during that episode. He was helping to raise the cerebral palsy awareness. And he was like, I am the only one who is not from Philadelphia in the building. And I was like, I promise you, it's a coinkydink. Yeah. So listen, for our listeners, if you're just tuning in, 323-693-3043, we want to hear from you. What were some of the shows, the episodes that stuck out? What is it that blessed you most with inspiration, Inspiration with E during my first season? September. I want to talk about September. September is Suicide Awareness Month. In addition to Alopecia Awareness Month, two of those things are really, really important to me. Our daughter has alopecia areata, which people would never know. She was on during the youth and young adult episode, which was episode 4. The Sade Champagne was the guest co-host for that one. And she helped to raise alopecia areata awareness. And we've been also talking throughout the entire season about suicide awareness, suicide prevention. We're dealing with mental health, talking, getting it out there, opening up the dialogue, trying to help end the stigma. I think there's someone who knows everyone who's dealing with it in one way or another. Camila, what are your thoughts on that? You know, that people don't want to get help or don't know how to get help. It's something that's really not talked about a lot.
It's not. And I feel like there is a stigma, and, you know, I feel like it's the way we were brought up, the way we were conditioned to believe in our community. I really believe that that's a part of it. So, yeah.
Well, I think it's going to be helpful for us. We have, I've been following this young lady on Twitter for some time now. Her name is Imari Bonicon. I cannot wait to talk to her because she's one of the people who've been really, really helpful in to help erase stigma about mental health matters in communities of faith and dealing with the stigma of minority mental health.
Mm-hmm.
I had mental health advocate Kit O'Malley on my first show, and she's like one of my sheroes. She's a mental health advocate that's living with bipolar disorder, and I appreciate her voice. She sings loud, rings loud, cries aloud for everyone, making sure that everyone's voice is heard. So it was really equally important for me as a woman of color and a woman of faith to make sure I have a voice doing the same thing for our people, to make sure that they know it's okay, especially as a woman. It was important to me. But before we bring in our first guest, Tasha Mumford, I want to make sure that the people who are listening in are aware that there's help. There is help. There's always someone to talk to. Watching the news, you know, with the hurricanes and, oh my goodness, and just different press conferences that we're witnessing on different issues, dealing with war-torn societies and earthquakes, and our love and our prayers there with everyone. But the reality is that everyone is not coping. Everyone is not handling it. Everyone is not doing well. There's a lot of people who are smiling, who are sad, who are depressed, who've been in church all day and have nobody to talk to, been high-fiving and dancing and shouting and tearing up pews, or if you're a person you prefer acoustic guitar and waving your hands, regardless of your style of worship. I've talked to people as a volunteer suicide crisis counselor time and time again who are on Sundays in communities of faith and still broken, still hurting. So if you're listening and you're sad right now, you're depressed, you're like, you know, the music was awesome, but just to hear a real voice makes me feel wanted, makes me feel like I matter. There is on the National Suicide Crisis Hotline, they're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for you to talk to someone. And it's okay. It is okay
for you to reach out to them. That's 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-TALK. Please, if you need somebody to talk to right now, if you're dealing with self-harm, if you're dealing with cutting, please don't think you're alone. You are not alone. You're going to be able to talk to somebody who's going to help walk you through that. If you're a person who's been watching the news and you've been watching the natural disasters and that's stressing you out, there's something that's called the Disaster Distress Helpline. And their number is 800-985-5990. That's 800-985-5990. Or you can text them at 66746. And that's if you are in emotional distress from watching the news dealing with disasters. So here on Inspiration with E, we love you. We're praying. God bless you. Please be encouraged. I wanted to make sure that everyone felt welcome here. I don't care what your race is. I don't care what your gender is. I don't care what your sexual preference is. I don't care if you're a believer or a non-believer. Please know that you matter, that you were created for a purpose, and that we need you. Just like there are no two snowflakes alike, we need you. We need you, and we're so glad that you're tuning in with us. I want to talk to Tasha Mumford. Tasha Mumford, we're going to bring her in. She is also one of my closest friends. As a matter of fact, Tasha and Camille and I, we used to sing together in a girl group back in the day. First of all, we were Anointing Fall with Tony Moore. They were in Tony Moore and Jehovah Chosen's group, and I met them, and on the tail end, and then we became Sincere. The name of our group was Sincere.
Wow.
Yes.
We've been singing together forever.
We go way back.
We do go way, way, way back. But I want to give her, out of respect, I want to give her a formal introduction. I featured her on my blog, AuthenticitySpeaks.com. That's authenticity ending in two E's, AuthenticitySpeaks.com. And Tasha is what I call a real-life Kim Whitley. If anyone remembers her, she had to adopt a loved one overnight. Like, look, either you're going to make a decision and take this loved one in, or we're going to have to put them in the system. They're going to have to go into foster care. And I remember that night, you know, there are some friends who are like, oh, I'm going to have a house full of kids. I can't wait to have a white picket fence. And Tasha's like, look. Yeah, I'm good. Like, she's been saying this forever. But I remember that night when she had to make that decision suddenly. So I'm going to let her talk to you a little bit about it in a little bit. But Tasha Mumford, Philly-born and bred, God-loving, soul singer, songwriter, fiercely loyal mom. Fiercely loyal mom, Tasha!
Lord. Hey, now.
Daughter, sister, and friend. Ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome my homegirl, Tasha Mumford!
Hey. Thank you so much. That was an awesome little introduction there.
All I'm doing is telling the truth. I got enough to repent for, so I don't need to add line to you to the list.
Join the club. We try though every day, don't we?
That is long, mother. So, please, first of all, you know, please, you bring us up to speed. They're going to read your article. They're going to go back. They're going to Google you. They're going to find out about the backstory. But tell us a little bit about that night when you became a single mother, literally, overnight.
Oh, wow. Well, it was in the month of May of 2013. I received a call from my mom, and she said that there had been something that happened and that my niece, one of my brother's children, needed to be picked up, that she was at down at the Special Victims Unit, and that if someone didn't go down there, that she would be entered into the foster care system. And initially, so I went down there, of course. It was late at night. It was like after 11 p.m., if I remember it correctly. And I went down there, and we were there for a long time. I waited, and they allowed me to take her home. Initially, I thought this would be something very temporary. I thought, you know, in a couple weeks, everything will work itself out, and, you know, but I can take my niece in, certainly, my niece Jayla. Well, that's not how it went. And what turned into something one night, what happened in one night turned into now, you know, 4 years later, and I am now her mother, a legal mother. I'm legally her mother. The adoption was made final last year in April. So, yep, that's the gist of it.
Wow. How old was she when that happened?
She was 5 years old. And she's now 9, and she'll be turning 10, actually, in a couple days, a few days. Yep.
You know,
it seems like yesterday.
I'm sure that it flew by. Your story to me, I think knowing you so well and being so close with you, you know, like I mentioned, everybody has their different version of how they see the latter part of their life, where I'm going to travel, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z before I get married,
right.
I'm going to do X, Y, and Z before I have kids. But you are one of the few friends that I remember from the gate. You were like, nah, not me, I'm good. God has a sense of humor. I think God has a sense of humor.
Oh, I don't understand his humor. It must be that humor I don't get. But, yeah, he definitely does. Because anyone who knows me really well knows that I've been saying this consistently since about 16 years old. I've been saying it consistently.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not really something I'm interested in, motherhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I might have had a 3-month window where I was feeling really motherly, and I said, maybe I do want children, and but it went away. It went away. That feeling went right away, and I was like, oh yeah, no, I feel the way I feel. But yeah, God does things in a very peculiar way sometimes. And out of all my friends, I honestly have to say, I'm like, well, why me? Because I know Camila, she's nurturing, and you're certainly motherly, and I'm not the one, you know, yeah, E, you know, who has everything in her purse, and you know, you offer everything to whoever in your purse, like, do you need this, you need that? I'm not her. I don't have tissues in my purse. I don't, you know, I wasn't a child-friendly restaurant. You know, listen, I was an auntie, and I loved being an auntie. I loved getting the kids, you know, gathering up my niece and my nephews, you know, a couple times a month, and taking them somewhere and hanging out with them. But at the end of the day, or maybe the weekend at the most, they went home, you know, and that was fine for me. And I wanted to keep it that way, but again, God is peculiar.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, I really appreciate you coming on here, and I think it was important for a few reasons. I don't believe in just bringing somebody on this show because I know them. I know a lot of talented people.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought your story was important because, first of all, when we look at women, We as women, because this is the ladies' night here on my season finale, we already decide. We decide if we like your hair. We decide if you got, excuse me, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but that's why I give a disclaimer at the top of the show, if you was fast. Oh, she must have been fast. We decide, you know, seriously, we decide, oh, so-and-so, you know, so-and-so. Yeah, she married, and she's expecting, really. Well, her husband's not expecting, but she is. You know, like, everybody
That's
just real.
That's real.
So
it is.
Before we go into the next segment, because I want to be respectful of the time of our guests, but I need you to just touch on how did you deal with any stigma of becoming a single parent overnight, and when did it change for you? You're like, dang, you know, I love her, but she's really not going home. Like, the reality of that. What was that like?
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't deal if people had judgments about my being a single parent, I don't know. I definitely felt the stigma of being a single woman who didn't want children. So before Jayla came into my life, I was constantly questioned, well, why? Why don't, what's wrong with you? Is there something wrong with you that you, that you're not married, that you don't have children? And actually, when Jayla came into my life and now she's a part of my life, people actually, I want to say that they actually have more of a respect of me or for me. It's like Jayla became like some sort of validation. Because if you don't know that she's the, I didn't have her, like I didn't birth her, you just know that she's my daughter. People are like, oh, well, and not that, and I'm not married, but you just have to have children. In our, in today's society, if you're a woman, you should have children. And if you don't, what's wrong with you? So once I actually became Jayla's mother, I kind of, I'm saying from society's standpoint, it seemed like now I'm validated as a woman. I felt some type of way about that. I did, because I'm like, I don't feel that you have to be, that doesn't make you a woman. And, you know, bearing children is the only thing that makes you a woman. And so that's a whole other thing. But as far, and the whole part about Jayla, wow, this little girl is not going anywhere. Oh, no. I had a, it was really a lot of growing pains. I had a, it was culture shock for both of us. I would imagine for her. And it's really kind of different because it's my brother's child. So at the same, it's not like I went into the system to adopt this child and I don't know her parents. I know her parents. I still have a relationship with her father, and it was very strange for a long time. Now, we're in, still with some bumps in the road now, but we are into our groove at this point. But it was really difficult for me to adjust because I was used to going, getting up and going when I wanted to. I didn't have to answer to anyone. I wasn't obligated to anyone. And that is not the case when now. When you have a child, that's your life. Now everything revolves around, and it revolves around the child. And what, well, how is this going to affect her? I have to take all those things into account. And and I didn't want to just be a parent that's letting the school raise her or television raise her. Like, I wanted to be involved. I wanted to be active in her life and to be a great influence on her. And it's not that easy, which is why, one of the reasons why I didn't originally really want children, because I know how much children you have to, they become your focus once you have them. I mean, they're the priority. And I know that sounds really selfish, and I've actually been told I was selfish in the past because I didn't want children. But that's selfish. And I'm like, well, I didn't think so. I felt like it was selfish to have children just because society said you should. And if you really don't, that's not something you really want, or you know that you really still want to live a certain life, bringing children into the world and then expecting to still live that life is selfish to me. But, I mean, we all have our own ways of thinking of things. But, yeah, it was definitely an adjustment period, and it still is. I'm not going to ever say that it's easy because a lot of times I'm thinking, wow, well, someone will call me and say, hey, you want to do this? You want to do that? I'm a singer. I may get called to do something that's going to require me to go away, or I have to think about, well, how does that work for her? Who's going to pick her up from school? Who's going to take her? Like, you know. And I have a great village of friends and family that look out for me. I could do any of this without them because I was ill-equipped to be a parent. You don't become a parent at 30-something or 40, 30-something suddenly. You know, it was really a transition and an adjustment, I have to say.
Well, salute to you, Tasha, and I'm, you know, I have my respect level for you, and I everybody, you know, talks about my catchphrases on here. I say amazing a lot. I say absolutely a lot, and I say my respect level for you is through the roof, but they're true. And although you are somebody who I love and adore and has always had my back, literally from the first time you saw me singing and I was left at the microphone.
I was amazed by you. I thought you were amazing. I was like, who is this girl?
Yes.
I mean, yeah.
I used to sing in this choir for our listeners. I used to sing in this choir, Tony Fields and New Testament, and it was so funny. And I would close my eyes, and I would always be in the zone. Well, I guess I was in the zone too long. I turned around, the choir had left. They were already sitting in the pews, and there were people standing up. And Tasha was one of those people who were standing up, and I didn't meet her until later on when I saw her singing and I wanted to throw a pair of shoes at the altar. I'm like, who is that flat foot hopper with all that oil on her? So I'm going to let you go, but as a singer-songwriter, and we actually did play in the background, you, me, and Camila, we got a chance to be featured on Kevin Arthur's CD Merge. It's the item called Dance, D-A-N-S. As in Sierra E, Dance. So if you ever check that out, that's Tasha on lead vocals. And Tasha Munford is everywhere. She's like everywhere singing. I think it's an American Deluxe band. Is that right with Clay? And
I am. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm an independent contractor, but yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I know that's right. Don't get it twisted. Mother for hire. So go ahead. Give your social media and so people can support you. And I'm going to also tweet the link and post the link to your article. I'm going to play a song, and I'm going to get Imadi in here. I cannot wait to bless her and have her bless this mic as well. But let people know how they can support you, and I really appreciate you coming through.
Oh, wow. Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure. I love you, E. You're amazing.
I love you.
You can I'm on Facebook and Instagram. Facebook, I guess it's Tasha Munford. On Facebook. Yeah, I don't know.
See, this is my message.
You know what? But you can
get the little papers together. Get your papers together, baby.
I know. But you know what? Actually, I am on the American Deluxe Band's website and their page on Facebook, American Deluxe page. You guys go to that page, like the page. You can see when I'm singing live, when we're live streaming our showcases and things like that, things of that nature. Also, I'm on Instagram at CocoTa_77. I think that's it. But my name is Tasha Montfort, Montfort, not with a D, with a T. And, hit me up, follow me, I'll follow you back. You know, if you're appropriate, I will follow you back. And that's it. Thanks, E.
If you're inappropriate, we do have people that you can talk to, but they're not on this episode.
Not me, though.
All right. Well, thank you so much again. If you're listening, 323-693-3043. If you want to talk to us, you got to press 1. We're going to bring our next guest on, but I have a song that's going to help set the atmosphere for her. Y'all know how I feel about representing Brooklyn. I got no problem doing that. That's home for me. So we're going to drop Roses by Mos Def featuring Georgia Ann Muldrow. Jit, can you do that for me, good brother?
Indeed I can. It's Inspiration with E on Ground Hard Radio.
When I'm down, I just drop some roses on a pretty piece of paper with my rest of me.
Mine is a good thing. stars above. Pink bars that I bought her on Valentine. Said it was forever, then she changed her mind. I said a little red and I clear my eyes. Feel a draw on my heartstrings, drawing a line. Started off with an orchid, natural portrait. I ain't Picasso, but that ain't important. Faith, smart dude, never graduated art school. Stay tuned, I'ma show you how my art moves. Shape and dimension, flowing extension. Symmetry and shade, blowing out the frame. Sign off my name, Dante, when I'm finished. Put it to your memory for permanent exhibit. Love, hard work, and it's worth every minute. Abstract, still life, real life, kinetic, big move. Check one, check two, checkmate, checkmate. Power and grace to creation. No necessary. Be easy, chop up. Just cool that creation. Grow.
I'm down. I just dropped the rose.
Magnetic
art. On a pretty piece of paper.
Fresh.
With my recipe.
Love. Translation. Next stop.
I feel so much better.
Joe.
I imagined happiness.
Wide awake in my
and
dreams.
It ran right to me.
South
Beach. Beauty.
Wow.
Got my pants on.
Check one.
Got pretty things.
Check two. Check it out.
Please don't worry. We're forgiving.
Power of grace to creation.
No
necessary.
Cut up no rules.
Be easy.
Hello, we are live back with Inspiration with E. This is our season finale, and our next guest on Grindheart Radio is, I'm sorry, my name is Camila. I apologize. I'm a little turned around, but our next guest, she's an awesome guest, and her name is Imade Nibokun, and she is, I'm sorry. Imade Nibokun is a writer and journalist living in the D.C. area. She originally wrote Depressed While Black for her 2015 Columbia University MFA thesis. Imade later expanded Depressed While Black into an online community and an in-progress book that explores race, religion, and romance, all while popping Prozac and navigating therapy. Hello, Imade, are you there? Hello, Imade.
Hey, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. How are you?
Yay, I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on. Welcome, welcome to Inspiration with E. Could you tell us a little bit about what you do and what your blog is about, Depressed While Black?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a mental health advocate, and I kind of mostly tell stories, mostly kind of a storyteller, and I tell stories, mental health stories, through an African-American lens. So I do everything from speaking, making videos, to blogging and writing about mental health. I just do a wide variety of things, and I just try to create an online platform where, you know, Black folks just feel safe to be real about the ugly part of mental health. And I also just try to encourage them and encourage each other to, you know, get the help that we need and know that we are deserving of care.
Awesome. So going by your bio,
mm-hmm.
It said that you decided to turn your thesis into a book. What made you decide to, you know, branch out and write a book about it as opposed to letting it just be, you know, a research
right.
paper or...
I just felt like these stories weren't being told. And, you know, my goal as a storyteller and as a writer is to, you know, fill in the gap. And I feel like there's a gap between mental health resources and African Americans. And a lot of it is due to, you know, systemic racism, a lack of cultural competency. And I just wanted to make a connection and just say, okay, guys, this is my journey. This is how I got mental health resources. This is kind of the struggle and the path that I took to kind of normalize getting and using mental health services, because I think there's a lack of people normalizing it. It's like this weird, exotic thing when it really should be like, you know, a common cold. So that's what the goal is for me, is to get depression, to get mental illness to the point where it's just like a flu or a cold or anything like that.
Okay, awesome. So I know you had to do a lot of research for your thesis,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you wrote your thesis. So could you give our listeners some statistics or information regarding depression in the Black community as opposed to other cultures and communities?
Yeah, so in the African-American community, we typically utilize mental health resources late in a later stage, in the more, I would say, acute stage, which means that by the time that we use mental health resources, our mental illness is much more acute, it's much worse. And the issue with that is that we actually are, in many ways, the most deserving, and we need these mental health services. But the problem is that we have all these preconceived notions of mental health. There's a statistic about how African Americans rely on religion and how they believe that depression is a form of weakness, and all of these mentality or these weight frame of thinking is higher than for white folk. So the challenge is to destigmatize mental illness by saying that mental health is just like any other part of our body, and we need to take care of it. So just like if I broke my leg, I need to go to mm-hmm. a doctor. If my brain doesn't feel like it's working right, my brain feels sick, I need to go to the doctor. It should be no different from any type of physical illness that we're experiencing. And it's hard because you have the historical racism component. You have Black people being used as guinea pigs historically in the medical system.
Mm-hmm.
You have like the Tuskegee. We talk about that a lot. We talk about how slaves were used as, you know, medical guinea pigs. So that's also the challenge as well, is not just using mental health services, but using the right mental health services and making sure that you have people in the mental health field that are your advocates, and that are making sure that they're not going to misdiagnose you, which happens to a lot, especially a lot of Black men. They get misdiagnosed as schizophrenic, and the quote-unquote anger or the aggression that they have, which is valid because we live in a world that oppresses us, gets misconstrued as, you know, some sort of schizophrenia and stuff like that. So the challenge is finding the right mental health resources and not giving up. And I hope that where we can get to the point where we don't just give up, just like if you're going on a date with somebody and you know, like, this is not the one, that it doesn't stop you from dating. It doesn't stop you from pursuing what you want. And that's also the challenge, too, is that a lot of Black folk, including myself, have a really bad first impressions when it comes to therapists and
mm-hmm.
them, you know, not understanding our culture. And I think the challenge for us is to just make sure that we are telling our stories, make sure that we're telling what therapists are working for us, and making sure that
mm-hmm.
other people get to use them as well.
Okay. Go ahead, E.
No, I was just going to say excellent. Imadi, I'm Erica Archer, the host of Interracing with E. Welcome, my sister. Welcome,
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I have been stalking, I mean following your Twitter page for 2 years now. I am like,
wow,
I'm a fan, you know, and I know you're like, okay,
wow.
Yeah. Then you're like, awkward silence, insert awkward silence.
No,
but
no, I'm the same way with a lot of people. And I just like, you know what, I'm just going to talk for 5 minutes straight about how amazing you are, and you just going to have to stand there and take it. I get it.
You're going to have to stand there and take it. And let me tell you why. I follow – I'm so serious. I don't even know where to begin. So I follow you on Twitter, not only your personal page, but I follow
mm-hmm.
Depressed While Black. And you know, that scene at Jerry Maguire, you know, you had me at hello. The thing about you – I'm serious. The thing about you that stuck out the most was your quote on your Twitter page for Depressed While Black
yeah.
says,
instead of killing myself, I went to grad school. Mm-hmm. So when you wrote that quote, I know that there are times we put things out there and we're like, okay, that's how I'm feeling today. But it's mm-hmm. not going anywhere. That's a part of your journey, a part of your transition.
Yeah.
We talk very candidly about mental mm-hmm. health and suicide prevention here. But please tell us what was going on even when you put pen to paper for that moment.
As I was unemployed, and that is a really bad time where mental illness can really be at its peak. And if we live mm-hmm. in a society where we're told as Black people that our worth is in our productivity and our labor, so when you extract that from our identity, it sometimes makes us like fall apart, like literally fall apart. And I was falling apart, and I felt as if my life was going nowhere. I had no money, and I felt like even when I went to USC for journalism after a year of being unemployed, I thought mm-hmm. that my depression was over. And that's also another thing, too, is unrealistic expectations can be a huge trigger for depression. And I didn't mm-hmm. have realistic expectations. I thought that, okay, like, I'm good. You know, I had a little bit of therapy, but I'm straight. I'm good now. And I was really surprised that, you know, mental wellness and mental health and self-care is a lifelong journey. There's no part in my life where I don't need mental wellness, you know. And that awakening came from, you know, me being in L.A., taking on way too much stuff. I was working on a documentary that I was doing all by myself about a hip-hop group that I grew up with. And there was a lot of stress around it because I had to deal with a lot of people's schedules. And there was a shoot that just didn't turn out. And, you know, on the way back, I was just speeding down a Los Angeles highway, like, just really wanting to die and swerve to do something so that my death could be disguised as an accident. And it wasn't until then where I was just like, I got to get help or I'm going to die. And so for some folks, like, if we don't, like, have a structure in place or some sort of support mechanism, like, we're going to die. And I guess the reason why I put that up there is it kind of gives put a flag down and kind of a stake down and say, we're going to talk about some real stuff here. Like, this is not the cookie cutter, you know, like, everything's going to be fine, you know, you're beating depression. This is not a beat depression place. This is every day, 24/7, I gotta be on it to make sure that I'm taking care of myself. So it's just that banner is not necessarily. I'm not glorifying depression. I'm not glorifying suicidality. I'm not glorifying negative and harmful coping mechanisms. But it's kind of just this banner that says we're gonna be real here, and we can talk about being at our worst.
No one's going to get judged for it. I like that segue. Just so you're aware, and I did not want to interrupt you out of respect, you're going in and out just a little bit, so if you can come just a little closer to the phone, what you're saying, we're literally sponges clinging to your every word because it's so important.
Oh,
there's someone who's listening to you right now who is, like you said, they don't have that kind of support in place. One of the things that you mentioned was unrealistic expectations can be a trigger. That is so powerful. That is so powerful because we spend a lot of time impressing people who don't like us, right?
Yeah.
Who are not paying us any attention because we have this in our head. I know sometimes culturally, our parents determine how we function in society or how we don't function. One of the things you also just mentioned was, and I'm paraphrasing, maladaptive coping mechanisms, which means, you know, for someone it may be sexing it up. For someone it may be texting it up. Another person may be drinking. Another person may be cutting. And that's one of the things I had to learn as a volunteer suicide crisis counselor.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I'm so grateful, Imadi, I was trained as a volunteer, not only on the faith-based side, but I got my core, like my get down that gritty, those kind of gritty
from
a secular setting, and it helped me so much, and I'm going to tell you why. So, you know, being a woman of faith, I came in there with this kumbaya moment. We're going to save people. We're going to save the world. Mm-hmm. And I didn't mean any harm. I had the best of intentions. But what I and the lady, she looked at me, and I love her to Reese's Pieces to this day. She said, oh, you're not going to last if you stay in this space. And I didn't know what she meant. I was like, I don't mean no harm, boo, boo. I'm E. This is what I do. I hold it down for everybody. I make sure everybody is good. I make sure everybody eats. And she's looking at me like, yeah, and I didn't say that to her, but my demeanor was, oh, she doesn't know I've been in ministry for years. This is what I do. I lead worship. I preach. You know, I lay hands and pray. I will Abba style you down, okay?
Yep, yep.
I will put me in B flat and tell three people, touch these three people and tell them I'm coming. I got the language. You understand? And she was still looking at me. She was like, yeah, that baby on the end, that rat, she's not going to make it. And I didn't get it. And it wasn't until I heard a call. And when I heard a call, live call before going on, I remember this person who had literally, and this is why I always put a trigger warning at the top of the show. I'm getting ready to mention a method. For those of you who are listening, you need to put the phone down. This is a trigger warning. What happened is that she was a woman who was about 19 or 20 years old, and she had gone to hang herself. Her her parents, rather, found her and said to her, get down from there. This is the call that we heard. They took her down, and they said, now you just don't do that anymore. So by the time she called us, she had the mark still on her neck.
Wow.
She was literally not knowing how to function. Why? Because it was like, we're just going to brush that underneath the rug.
Right.
I'm like, okay, so you didn't come in the room and find her, you know, writing on the wall. Or in the back of her notebook, you know, and I'm making up names, Joey loves Laura, Joey loves Laura, Joey. You found her in that type of a scenario, and you were just going to move that away. And so then by the time we get them, you understand, by the time they call us, it's very real. It's like, I, you know, did X, Y, Z, but I don't have the money for, I don't have the money for counseling, so now what? Or I'm just going to cut. Well, I don't want to die, but cutting makes me feel better. Why? It's because it's how I cope. So what do you find? Because I know people. I know people pull you to the side after you speak. I know people of color.
True.
I know they say, okay, wow, there's a sister. I can see her. I love the melanin in her. She's popping. She's speaking my language. I can. I'm serious. I can identify with her.
Yeah.
What is your message? What is your message, Imade? What do you want people to know? This is the time to let them know, baby girl. What do you want people to know today? About they can live, they can press on. There's hope.
Yeah, I mean, I think the number one thing is that we are deserving of care, and that in our society, Black people are so devalued, but that is a lie. You know, we are inventors of mental health resources and mental health wellness. From the Egyptians all the way down to Nigerians, Dr. Thomas Lambo, who created a community-based mental health wellness. So I would just say that mental health wellness is our heritage. It is our tradition. It's a part of who we are, and that using a therapist or anything like that, that is a lie. Like, to say that it's a white person's thing. Like, Black people have been counseling and healing each other for thousands of years, and it's completely a lie. And I also would say is that you can live through it, and that there's going to be some really good moments and some really beautiful moments where you're going to be so grateful that you didn't end your life. There's going to be moments after the worst where you're going to be like, wow, I really have joy in this moment, and I didn't think I would have it. And I think the important part is to just remember that there's life after a suicide attempt. There's a life after depression, and you just kind of have to press through and get to that other side. And you don't have to do it alone, and you can't do it alone. And the thing is that we suffer so much in silence because we think no one else is going through what we're going through. But we are surrounded by survivors of a suicide attempt and survivors of depression and anxiety and bipolar disorder and all sorts of mental illnesses. We are surrounded by people who love us, and sometimes we just need to ask for help to see that. And so that's what I would say, is don't go through it alone. Ask for help and know that mental health wellness and mental health self-care is a part of our heritage as Black people.
Excellent. I'm so grateful. Thank you for blessing our mic. If you're listening, 800-273-TALK is the National Suicide Hotline. I have a supporter who lives in South Africa, Imade, and she challenged me. She said, you know, I want you to keep in mind that you have a global audience. And she said it with such love. And, you know, sometimes we underestimate the power of the internet and we underestimate the power of social media. And it brought tears to my eyes. It convicted me, but it also gave me such hope. She said, listen, you have a global audience. So remember when you're giving resources to make sure that people know that's in the States. So if you're listening and you're outside of the United States, we do want you to know that the International Association for Suicide Prevention, it's a good place for you to get information on hotlines, on websites, and communities of support to help journey with you. If you're a person who has lost a loved one to suicide, or if you are a suicide attempt survivor, I know Desiree Stage of Live Through This, that's another one she wrote of mine. I cannot wait to meet with her one day. Go to livethroughthis.org. You'll be able to check out other suicide attempt survivors. The Buddy Project started by Gabrielle on Twitter. If you want to be able to have someone, you know, be there for you just for like an hour or so, if you're a teenager and you need someone to talk to. Imade, if you can just please, before you go, give your social media handle so we can, you know, support you and continue to make sure that your voice is heard literally resounding through the nation.
Wow, this has been an amazing opportunity. Thank you so much for this. It's amazing.
Thank you.
So my website is depressedwhileblack.com. My Facebook is facebook.com/depressedwhileblack. My Tumblr is depressedwhileblack.tumblr.com, and my Twitter is twitter.com/depressedwblack. Feel free to come, make yourself comfortable. I have plenty of conversations with a lot of folks with a lot of different experiences, and nothing that you say will be weird or, you know, off the beaten path. We go in. So just welcome.
Excellent. And you are always welcome here on Inspiration with D Live on Grindhard Radio. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful for your kindness, and I really genuinely appreciate your time. Please don't be a stranger.
Oh, thank you so much. I love to do this. It was very fun.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you so much again. If you're live with us listening, you're listening to Inspiration with E on Grindhard Radio. This is season one, episode 6, and my season finale. If you're not familiar with me, I've been rocking with Grindhard Radio Divas for the last 2 years, and I want to shout them out right now before we go into our last segment and bring one of my favorite people in the world on this line in the form of Queen Crystal Z. Perry. And she's amazing. Like, she's going to be like, Queen, why did you even say that? I love her to Reese's Pieces. Cannot wait to talk to her. She's like, everybody ain't your queen. Not all black women. Not all women. You just, salute. Can't wait to talk to her. But if you're listening with us now, 323-693-3043. That's 323-693-3043. Press 1. We don't bite. Unless you want us to. That's a shout out for my love poetry. Authenticity Speaks on Instagram, Authenticity Speaks on .com on the website, and also ID Authenticity, Authenticity ending in 2 E's instead of a Y. So before we bring her on, we're going to take a quick song break, and this song right here is going to set the atmosphere so we can make sure we leave on a high. Jennifer Hudson's Feeling Good. Can you drop that for me, Jit?
Indeed, Inspiration with E, season finale.
Let's get it.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new day, and I'm feeling.
And we're live right there here on Grind Hard Radio. I'm Erica Arthur, your host. You're listening to Season 1, Episode 6 of the Inspiration with E! Show. This is my season finale, and it has been amazing. We've been able to talk everything from ending the stigma of being a single parent, ending the stigma of being a person of faith, a person of color dealing with mental illness tonight. But I want to talk business, and there's no other person that I would want to discuss business with than someone who I genuinely look up to. I don't just admire her, I actually like her. And you can love a person and not like them. Just ask any parent, okay? I actually love and like her. I genuinely am honored that she would join me for my season finale. Her name is Crystal Z. Perry. She's a psychology-based brand strategist, and her career in branding began with Grammy and Billboard-winning artists in Dallas, Texas. After 13 months in business, she secured a series about Dallas music on Forbes.com. With roots firmly planted in the entertainment industry, her clients now include nonprofit organizations, applications, developers, civic groups, and social influencers. Crystal serves the Dallas-Fort Worth community through the Dallas Summer Musicals, AP Board of Directors, the Junior League of Dallas, and Our Friends Place. In addition to being a 2017 SXSW panel creator for the DFW Crew Love, which I can't wait for her to talk about that, she hosts educational panels in Dallas about the business of music, introducing to some and presenting to others. Y'all give it up for my homegirl, Crystal Z. Perry. Hey. How you doing?
I'm good.
How are you? I'm feeling good. I was over here lip syncing and dancing something horrible to Jennifer's song, okay? I'm feeling like a million bucks right now. I'm soaring. I am soaring. And you, my dear, are soaring and paving the way for so many. Please. The bio is awesome, but tell us what's popping. What's good? Tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
You know what? What's insane is I dialed in at the top of the show, and I was yelling, glad that I wasn't connected, on Tasha's segment about being unmarried and childless and Black, especially in the South. It is rugged. It is rough. And she literally was telling my story because I actually knew at 16 that I probably would not have children of my own, really just because I saw how my mother parented me, and I knew I didn't have all that to give it. My mother, you know, she never went out. She didn't go to the beauty shop until I started going to the beauty shop. If Crystal couldn't go, Zanelle Perry didn't go. And, you know, when I look at just life decisions that I've made, you know, even just pitfalls that I managed to sidestep, I just know it's because of what she gave motherhood. And I figured, yeah, this probably won't be for me. And so when Tasha was talking about I'm an auntie, I was like, yeah, that's me. See, pick them up, get them all sugared up, and take them home. That's
right.
That's what I have. Now, the thing, though, is that I date men who most men have kids. No big deal there. And kids actually like me, and I like kids. I really do. But, you know, I just thought that was so interesting that that was her story because, it is always, well, what's wrong with you? Well, what, you know, it's that whole thing that you just get, you know, you learn to answer it and not let it bother you.
Yeah, you know, and then you have to be, you can't make the assumption, first of all, that someone can have kids. Like, that was my situation. I was married, for 4 years, but I was barren. I could not have kids. And so then when God was like, prepare to be a mother, I'm like, okay, so the Lord is doing stand-up, and clearly he needs new material. I can't have children.
You know what
right.
I mean? And then
so,
fast
no,
forward 15 years.
No, I know
years.
What you mean. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I know
people
exactly what
assume.
You mean because you're right, and people do that. And I know that typically we approach things, you know, and we're looking at it in our lens, but for me it was exactly that because I'm adopted. And so my first go-to is always there's the assumption that everyone can have children. No, not everyone can. And so
that's
sometimes
right.
as a society, we just project those things onto people because we don't even understand how much harm we're causing somebody by saying those kinds of things when you literally don't know what people are dealing with.
That's so true.
I know you wanted to end on a high note. I didn't mean to go back there.
No. Please, this is why it's a dialogue for Ladies Night. It's important to me that we get different perspectives about the same issues because you know we can be watching someone on the red cap on the red carpet,
mm-hmm.
and you know
mm-hmm.
we're like, oh my God, did you see her? Her face was beat to the gods. She was awesome.
Mm-hmm,
and then somebody
mm-hmm.
else was like, she was somebody. We'll look at the same person and go, she was wearing makeup. I don't know her. I just all I know is because her shoes were just banging. We're looking at the
mm-hmm.
exact same person, seeing different things.
Mm-hmm,
and so it's important to me to have a myriad of voices chime in here in this space because it's a safe space. Really important to me. So I thank you for sharing not only that the fact that you're adopted, but the fact that people do make assumptions. That being said, what are some
mm-hmm.
of the assumptions would you say would be for you? Being a woman of color in the entertainment industry, especially, Crystal, the fact that you are, like, plugged in from all angles. What are some of the assumptions
mm-hmm.
people make about how we should be governing ourselves as women of
mm-hmm.
color in the business?
You know, the largest assumption when I show up anywhere is that I'm somebody's girlfriend. Right off the bat, that is it, you know, that I am the girlfriend of one of the musicians, my business partner, Gino Young, you know, just that I am somebody's girlfriend. And so
mm-hmm.
In my bio, you know, you mentioned that I was a South by Southwest panel creator, and that's true. But here's the thing. We submitted two panel ideas. One of them was the producer panel that we actually executed, which was, you know, what it's like to go from touring musician to super producer for the Jay-Z's and Beyoncé's of the world. But the
mm-hmm.
alternate panel that I submitted was called Get Your Own Damn Coffee, Women in Entertainment Who Are Not Assistants.
When I grow up. Whenever I grow up in like probably 50 years from now, I want to be just like you. Okay.
That's what it was
I
about.
I love it.
It was about
love it.
Women decision makers in the business. And to the point, it wasn't accepted. And I just thought, well, this is the problem. You know, there are so many things that even if you are a woman, assuming that
mm-hmm.
you're not somebody's girlfriend, double down on if you're any version of attractive, you know, if you're anybody's
mm-hmm.
definition of attractive, then certainly you cannot be smart enough to be a decision maker, which I just think is problematic on a lot of levels because I've spent years being friends with the people that I now work with, and I've learned a lot from them.
Mm-hmm.
I've also learned some things, you know, just on my own along the way. You know, I invested in a master's degree in internet marketing. I have a Google certification. You know, there are times where I know, though, that, see, an advanced degree was necessary for me, though, because I am a woman.
Mm.
For me, just having a bachelor's was never going to be enough for me to be taken
wow.
seriously. And it's, you know, it's the black tax that gets doubled down with the gender tax. And so, you know, a lot of times that's really, you know, when I'm in the community and I'm talking to young women, I want them to be empowered, but there's a part of me that's, you know, older Generation X that also wants them to understand this is what you're walking into. And so, you know, be armed with as much information about a situation that you're walking into and understand that they don't expect me to be a decision maker. They don't expect a curvy girl with multicolored hair to be the
mm-hmm.
decision maker when I walk in a room. I know that.
That's interesting. I'm glad that you touched on that because As a person married to a musician, which I have experienced just the total opposite in terms of when not to not be expected as a girlfriend or a wife, but it's amazing mm-hmm. how people will just straight overlook you because they're like, okay, so mm-hmm. I'm looking for, yeah, they're like, okay, so yeah, oh yeah, that's the girlfriend. Oh no, that's the girl who made it to sound check. The girlfriend comes later on to the show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
right,
mm-hmm,
right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, mm-hmm. And then when we start to talk business, my husband looks at me because he's like, yeah, Ari, do me a favor, throw this in your phone. They're like, oh, so I have to acknowledge you anyway. Hello, peon.
There you go.
Dare you give me eye contact. So one of the things about women empowerment, I'm feeling, and help me with this, and if I'm wrong, shut me down. I'm feeling that part of the problem is how we treat each other, even when mm-hmm. we're not looking. Yeah, yeah. I want to talk about that because part of women in the business, part of women in the industry, we're so fast to call out what's wrong with someone. She can sing, but. Or she, yes, her hair was awesome, but. Like, what is your thought on that? Do you come across cattiness or not?
I do. So I'm not going to tell you that it doesn't happen because mm-hmm. it does. And it, you know, I don't want to all lives matter. It happens outside of music, though. You know, it just does. But certainly it happens in music. What I will say is I'm fortunate enough that my circle, though, is just women who are far smarter than me, far more talented than me. And so mm-hmm. it doesn't bother us to say, oh, so-and-so was the plug there. You know, one of my clients is a nonprofit, and the director of development is a very talented woman named Makila Wallace. And mm-hmm. I ran into their table at North Texas Giving Day, and I mean, she sat there and had run down some things that I'd done for her employer that, you know, I'd kind of forgotten about. And when she said it, it sounded far better the way she described it than what I actually remember doing. And so mm-hmm. I always take the time to thank those women because certainly. You know, and I say this all the time, I'm like one of four women in the DFW Metroplex that never sang in God's property, okay? And I'm from that says a lot. You know, I was never in God's property.
They are awesome.
All
of them can sing it. They can sing it.
All of them.
Also,
right?
They're like beasts.
Beasts.
They're like so
right?
awesome.
I mean,
okay.
I cannot hold a note, and I know that. I probably have taken lessons for at a minimum 10 instruments. I was not good at any of them. So with that being said, even though I'm a Dallas native, there are still a lot of church circles because that's kind of the root of a lot of things around here that I'm just not mm-hmm. a part of. You know, like mm-hmm. I didn't go to XYZ church with this person. I never sang with this group. I never toured with this group, you know, all those kinds of things. And so certainly in a lot of ways, I could be considered an outsider. And I'm not going to tell you that every woman in music here in Dallas was happy to see me show up. What I will uh-huh. tell you and what I tell little girls is I never sat around waiting on somebody to give me permission that wasn't theirs to give in the first damn place.
Mhm, mhm, mhm.
See, who are you?
Yeah, that's real.
You,
yeah, yeah.
You can't give me any permission to do anything. I make up mm-hmm. my mind to do what I'm gonna do or what I'm not gonna do. And so, to be honest, even with the cattiness, you know, I'll make a decision to say, now, do I have time to engage here or do I not?
Right.
I'll say that with the caliber and level of opportunity, though. Of just things that come my way, I have less and less time for it, but I still, in a way, view it like bullying, and mm-hmm. so I will decide that there's going to be a point where I need to address this so that it doesn't continue to escalate, because all the time, people don't know the difference between, oh, I got away with it, or, oh, no, I just let you make it. And so, you know, seriously, I'm still a girl from Oak Cliff. I still am. I'm
Brooklyn
from Oak Cliff.
Very much in this house. Trust
Listen,
me.
I am Oak Cliff,
look,
Texas, all
don't
day.
Get it twisted. I know that's right.
I'm still part of high school all day, and no amount of passport stamps or fancy degrees change that. But, you know, a lot of
I love
too,
it.
I'm just saying. That's all I know to do is just say. But, you know, a lot of that just comes from there are also some things that are going to be for me, and I know they're mine, so I can't concern myself with the person who wonders why not them. Honey, I don't know why not you. What I can tell you is put all that petty aside and come on over here
yes.
and get on this team because we can all win together.
Oh, my goodness. You know what? I got to get ready to go because we got to wrap up. But one of the things I do want to say, and I appreciate you for sharing that, and I've always adored from the first time that we met, your candor is something that has liberated me quite a bit, and I'm going to tell you why. We touched tonight on a lot. One of the things that Imadi talked about was having unrealistic expectations and when it comes mm-hmm. to mental health, how that can be a trigger. One of the things that you said to me about a year and a half ago, you said that, and this is relating to Authenticity Speaks, my website mm-hmm. and my poetry, you were explaining that it's okay to make a decision to do something different. It's okay for you mm-hmm. to be open to making business choices that will allow you to, and I'm paraphrasing now, basically walk in the fullness of all that you are. Connecting the dots between that statement and the statement of unrealistic expectations being a trigger, do you have any advice for that person who is not yet liberated in the idea of walking in the fullness of who they are, but also dealing with the pressure of, I need to be something?
Mm-hmm. This is, to me, that I know when you're in it seems really complicated. And so
mm-hmm.
when I say that it's simple for me because that's not my struggle. But my words are this. You have one shot at this thing. Okay? You have one shot at your life. And so the quicker that you realize it's going to be what you make it, and so you may as well make it something that you like, the better off you'll be. Now, that doesn't mean that things don't happen to us that we didn't plan for, but you still have the choices in how you respond even to those things. So the ball is still going to be in your court. A lot of things happened to me that I wasn't looking to happen, but
yeah.
I still am stuck with making the decision. But what I think happens is, again, there are societal expectations, there are gender expectations, your parents have expectations, your friends do. You're in your head telling yourself what you need to be to matter. And when you really just realize that actually none of those voices matter and only what it is that you want to do matters, if you walk in that, you'll realize there are a good 50 other people who need the example that you are about to be.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
That's good.
There are little dark brown girls who needed me to always ride out for dark brown girls.
Because I grew
up looking at Jane Kennedy and Lena Horne and women who were very light, like my mother. And so you're
mm-hmm.
right. I'm always going to ride out for the brown-faced girl. I'm always going to ride out for the girl who doesn't want to relax her hair anymore. You know, all those things, because there needs to be a voice. And so it wasn't until I decided that I would be very unapologetic about it that all these people came out and said, you know, Crystal, I really needed to hear that. And I'm like, yeah, give yourself permission to be who it is you want to be.
Excellent.
Start there.
Excellent.
Because like you said earlier in the show, most of those people that have something to say, they're going to have something to say anyway. So you want
That's
these
right.
people talking about your miserable self, at least let them be talking about your happy self.
And make sure that your hair color is done by Maddie Michelle in the meantime.
And make sure, listen.
Okay.
And make sure that Maddie Michelle lays her hair.
They'll learn. They will learn. Listen, it has been a pleasure. You already know I can talk to you all day long. I adore you. Thank you so much for being someone that I admire both on and off the mic. Real talk.
Thank you.
I'm going to let you head on out. Before you go, please, can you just give your social media handles for those of us who want to support you beyond this moment?
Absolutely. So you can find me at Chris Perry, P-R-I-S-S-T
Terry, and I mean that's all of my social media, so I'm pretty consistent there. I am actually having a custom website built, and so PrisTerry.com will be back up with the Not All Black Women blog starting again, probably the top of November. So I'll of course start back up with just using that platform to dispel myths that people think we all have the one same mind and we read from the same playbook, and that's not quite true. But yeah, PrisTerry.com on all social is it.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you. For those of you who are listening, you're live here on Grindheart Radio. We have literally like two more minutes left of the show. It has been awesome. I'm super excited. I thank you for rocking with me during season one. This has been the season finale. You can still listen to the previous broadcast on iTunes. If you want to support me on Blog Talk Radio, just go to Blog Talk Radio, type in Grindheart Radio, and search for Inspiration with E. Help to get the word out about this experience. If you've been blessed, I thank you all for listening and tuning in. But please don't forget, you can also leave comments and reviews, because the executive producers, that's what they look at. They look at those types of things. And Grindheart Radio has been nothing but good to me. I want to thank our guest co-host for today, Camila Cyree. Camila, did you want to give your social media handles before we head on out of here?
Just Instagram, K.Cyree, on Instagram.
Thank you so much for being here. I love you, Camila. I thank you to all my guests. Hey, if this has been a blessing to you, not only do I want you to go back and listen to the previous shows, we're going to be doing some giveaways and some things like that to say thank you from our guests from this season. Also, if you want to tune in next season, I was told that season two is going to be up and running, and that is going to take us through in the spring. Playing in the background is Still Love by Mav Trax. He's a Dallas producer. You want to show him some love, and we're going to get ready to head on out. Jit, can you turn it up for me? And thank you to everybody for your love and support. I am thrilled and blessed.